So today I have a very special episode for you guys. I interviewed my business coach, Courtney Baker, and she has this amazing story of being an entrepreneur, leaving the life for a while, living in a van, and then coming back to be even more successful than she was before. And I just cannot wait to share this story with you guys, so stay tuned. Welcome to the Sensitive Soul Podcast. I'm your host, Nikki, and I'm going to teach you how to overcome your fears, conquer your dreams, and own your life. I'm so happy that you're here. Now let's get started. Hey guys, welcome to episode 15. I have a special guest today, Courtney Baker. She is an online business strategy coach with 10 years of experience. Courtney, we go ahead and say hi and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Hi, thank you for having me. So what I do is primarily marketing strategy. So I work with clients one-on-one, and most of my clients are in the wellness industry. They're like life coaches, business coaches, fitness coaches, anybody in the coaching industry. That's who I help to market and strategize to get them more clients online.
Awesome. And you've been doing this for, or you started this 10 years ago. How did you get started doing this?
Yeah, it makes me sound so old.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it started when I was 18. I was a nanny for families. So I was in college for nursing, actually. That was like my path in life that I had planned out. That's what I thought I was going to do.
Wow.
And I was babysitting part-time, nannying. And one of the families that I was working with, the mom decided to start a business coaching people online. And it was like a woman's financial coaching, empowerment, basically personal development online. And to me, like, that industry was totally new. I really didn't know much about it, but I knew how to use the internet. Like, this was in the age of like Facebook was a thing. Like, I grew up with like AIM and MySpace and that whole generation.
Yes.
So I just had a knack for it. Yeah. And she had me come in, like, so I'd like babysit her kids. And then a couple hours after that, I would sit down with her and help her just like with administrative tasks in her business. And as she grew her business, the more support that she needed and the more I worked with her. And first it started out like I was just like doing it for the money. But then I really caught on to it and I started doing more personal development work as she was teaching me more things and books to read, podcasts, all of that. And it kind of grew from there. But yeah, it was just a random connection from somebody that I babysat with. And I ended up dropping out of college too to pursue this full time.
That is really cool. Okay, and I know that you did it for a while and then you stopped. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
I did, yeah. So, I quit. I fully quit. I think that, you know, everybody, I mean, I think almost every day, but like everybody at one point in their lives knows what it's like to quit, or to at least like really consider what it would be like to just give it all up and walk away. And I did it. I was the one to say, like, okay, like, let's see what quitting is like. Like, let's see what it's like to walk away from this. As I said, I was 18 when I started in the industry. So I was very young and it was a new industry back then. I mean, it still is a very new industry now, but for someone who was very confused about life, very confused about who they were as a person, who had a lot of like inner work to do, and that was suddenly put into this world of, at the time it was full of like people in their 40s and 50s, and they had families and lives, and they had gone through the growing pains of, you know, a teenager into early 20s. And I was just beginning to go through all of that while running a business online. And for me personally, it was just something that I couldn't balance. I couldn't do both. I couldn't go to all like the dark spider webby areas of my life and still run a big business online. And I think I did it for about 5 years. I managed, and I got fairly successful. I did really well. My business grew from being an assistant for that woman to being the online business manager, and then working in marketing agencies and just having my own coaching business that I would manage the back end of other coaches' businesses. And yeah, it went really well on the outside, but on the inside, just my life was a mess. And I quit. I think I was 23, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I got one of the biggest job offers, the biggest contracts coming to me, and the biggest names in the industry that I had like managed to connect with, they all came to me, and it all happened within like a month period. And I left. I was like, I can't do this. I need to be a kid. Like, I want to be young and have fun. And at the time, it stopped being fun for me. So I walked away.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's so crazy that you were really successful. And then you were like, I can't do this. Do you think that was maybe an upper limit problem, like from the big leap? Or do you feel like you just weren't finished growing up?
I think both. Mm-hmm. You know, I think almost it's one and the same, right?
Like, yeah.
The upper limit is part of not growing up. It mm-hmm. is part of like not really fully stepping into your power as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, for sure. I mean, it is that classic. So like the upper limit, for anyone who doesn't know, is like that moment where you've kind of hit the glass ceiling. You've hit your max potential that you thought was possible. And once it comes, it's like, oh, well, what now? What comes after this? And for me back then, I didn't know what came after that. And mm-hmm. getting the responsibility of those jobs, those contracts that I was facing, just terrified me.
Yeah.
It was like, what if I can't do it? What if I fail? And I had people telling me like, you're amazing. You're so great. You're so good at what you do. But then like, it just was going nowhere. It was like, none of that stayed with me, those words, that encouragement, because my self-doubt was so strong, because my mental health just wasn't there at the time. So it was an upper limit, and it was a part like I needed to take some space, and I needed to deal with my own crap really before I could fully step into my power. But as far as like the upper limit, for sure, like that was a huge upper limit for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So yeah, I think that comes up a lot in business, that we have to deal with our own crap before yeah. we can step up in business, before we can take care of being a leader. Just going back to the, okay, what's going on in my life? And I've seen you posting about this recently, like what's going on in my life that's holding me back in business. So you took some time off, you took care of yourself, your health, and then you came back. So you talk about entrepreneurship being a lifelong journey. So what brought you back? What was the thing that said, I'm ready. I'm ready to do this again. I'm stepping up.
Working for somebody else.
Okay.
That wasn't the only factor for sure. But when you go from like working for yourself to working for someone else, like it's a really hard to like not be your own boss after that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I took a few years off, and I still stayed in the industry. Like I had some friends that were coaches, and I had some ventures and projects that I had stayed in this whole industry, but I was very quiet about it. Like I didn't have a website and I didn't market myself at all. It was just word of mouth, and I would do it for extra money. And I had convinced myself that that was it. I had convinced myself that that's all it was. And I was gonna, you know, stay in my job that someone gave me, and it was safe. And that was it. That was my life path.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of struggles and fulfillment. And then, you know, I think the coaching industry has become popular, and mm-hmm. it's become more widely known, and more people are opening up to personal development and wanting to like create this atmosphere in this world of helping each other. And so this industry has become a lot bigger than it was 10 years ago. And so more of my friends just naturally are looking into this and getting into yoga and life coaching. And they would come to me because they knew my background. And I would kind of resist it, but I would be like, okay, well, I'll help you a little bit. And the more and more friends that I had, the more and more opportunities came of it. And I was like, okay, you know, when the universe like just sends you messages, I don't know, like,
yeah,
kind of woo-woo type, but like,
yeah,
you start to pay attention and you're just like,
yeah,
okay, I get it. Leave me alone. You know, like so many people were coming to me
mm-hmm.
friend-wise, you know, I was like getting mm-hmm. messages and DMs and I was like, this is like a part-time job.
Yeah.
Like the amount of people that are bugging me, and this is like my mindset was like bugging me.
Yes.
Is like ridiculous. Like I should be charging for this. And I was like, then I should just have a business. Well, then I should just start it again. Well, why am I not starting it again?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so like, I would go through that process and I kind of thought about it and then I would let it go for a little while. And then like, just finally I was like, okay, like my job became even suckier. Like I just felt more and more unfulfilled with my passion. And like, I just did not want to stay working for somebody else. And it was just time. I was like, before the universe like knocks me on my butt
mm-hmm.
and gives me like the big awakening that I deserve, like, I'm just going to take the action now and okay. face the facts of like, okay, I am good at this. I have people coming to me and I know now what it takes to run a business. I know that I am not in the same mental state that I was all those years ago. I know that I have grown up and I know that if I'm going to fully do this again, like there's nothing that's going to get in my way. Like this is it. There's no going back. There's no quitting again. Like that's it. So it took me a few months to like accept that. But as soon as I did, like I've been going like guns a-blazing the whole time. It took a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. I like that visual, guns a-blazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you were working part-time with some clients, you said that you had some projects. So what was going on there?
So yeah, kind of all over the place. Like I would help some of my friends that were coaches just in their marketing and stuff like on Facebook or how to price themselves, like just little things like that. And one thing that I did end up doing with a friend is I bought a van. So I was working in a regular job
mm-hmm.
and I thought that was my path. Like that's what I was going for. And I was like, you know what? In the back of my mind, like sitting in my office, like I'd stare out the window and I'm like, I just want to buy a van and I want to travel around the country and go to the national parks and just like wake up in a different place every day. Like I had this dream and it's
yeah.
all I could think about.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, I love my job, but I don't want to spend the rest of my life thinking like, what if? I don't, like, I'm sick of the daydream. Honestly, like I love daydreaming, but I got sick of daydreaming about the same thing. So I'm like, enough of this. Like I need to go explore it. So I quit my job that,
mm-hmm.
you know, the easy, safe paying job that I had.
Yeah.
And I bought a little van
mm-hmm.
and I got a friend that wanted to go on a trip with me and I went. So we turned that van into a business and we called it Desired Route. Like it doesn't exist anymore. The website's
okay.
down,
but okay.
we had a whole business page for it. And like we had decals for the van, we had sponsor, like we even got sponsored by Cliff Bar to give us free food as we're going along our journey. And yeah, so we had that journey and the first plan was the friend that I was going with, she was going to Costa Rica for 6 weeks and I decided to go with her. So that was
mm-hmm.
the first part of the trip without
okay.
the van. And during that trip, she got a boyfriend and they're still together. Like they just bought a house together, like amazing story.
Yeah.
But for me, I was like, oh, well, we're not going to bring your boyfriend in the van, are we? So it just made sense that she wasn't going to go on the trip anymore. Like she fell in love, totally understand.
Yeah.
But then I was out of a van trip buddy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh crap. Like this totally changes the whole trip. And we got back from Costa Rica. And I had friends that lived in Virginia Beach. And at the time, I was living in Maine.
Okay.
So it's like a 15-hour drive, and it's all down the East Coast. So I took road trips down to Virginia Beach. I stopped in, like, Washington, D.C. and New York City and wherever I knew people,
mm-hmm.
even kind of, like, sort of knew on Facebook. Like, even if I didn't know them that well, I still reached out to, like, go meet them and make friends.
Yeah.
And I did that, went down to Virginia Beach and stayed for a while, but then I ran out of money.
Mm.
And I've talked to other people who had a van and they have similar experiences. Like, it costs a lot more money than you think it does. And I was like, what the hell? What do I do? And I didn't know what to do anymore. Like, I was really scared. I felt really, really alone. I didn't have the money to go anymore. I had no passion to like run the business side of it, to like make Desired Root, you know, a full fledged business and to post pictures and write blogs. Like, I just didn't want to do it. And it all kind of dropped. It all kind of fell. And I ended up kind of quitting the van life.
Yeah.
I got scared and I didn't want to do it anymore. And I was like, you know, the only thing I want is like safety. It's kind of funny. Like, all I ever desired was to like have that complete freedom and wake up in a different place. And then once I got a taste of it, I was like, I actually really love being home. I really love my routines and I love being around my friends and my community. Even though I was very grateful for that trip. So long story short, I ended up working at a Buddhist retreat center in New York for the summer. And then I tried to travel a little bit more after that, but then I ended up coming back home and I moved back to New Hampshire, and I've been here for the last few years, just very happily being in one place and not traveling. And I still love traveling, but it brought a whole different experience to what freedom means for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's,
so,
no, go ahead.
No, so I was just going to say, like, it's a totally different, like, so working on those projects on the side, even though that was meant to be a business, it's still, like, it wasn't there for me. Like, it totally meant to be something else. That trip was there for something else. It wasn't there to be a business. It was there to, like, kind of push me through these experiences that I needed to go through.
Kind of like a getting to know yourself, because you were all alone in that van, right?
Yeah, I was.
How long was go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
How long was the trip in total from beginning to end?
The trip in total, so I quit my job that January, and I got back home in August.
Okay.
Late August. So 8 months total.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually only slept in the van once. Like, it had a whole bed. It was converted and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But everywhere I stayed, I ended up staying in a house. It was offered to me. They were like, well, if you want the house, like, just stay in the house. And I was like, well, I'm not going to pass a bathroom up.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I never lived in the van. The van just literally carried my belongings from state to state. And, it was like a clunky little van. It was a little Ford, oh God, I can't even remember what the name of it, but it was a tiny little work van that it smelled. It always smelled like car, like grease, like, I don't know, like a car shop would smell. So my friends would never want to get in it. And, it was breaking down a lot. Like, I remember being in Delaware in the middle of nowhere, and I was on the side of the road and had to like get towed to a Meineke, and they had to help me, all by myself, like, all navigating that. And I'm like, I know nothing about cars either, so I couldn't tell what was wrong. And like being on that side of the highway and like typing up like tubes and wires and stuff in the engine, like, it was so crazy that I did all of that by myself. But it was a huge growing experience for sure. Like, that was the craziest thing I've ever done, is that trip.
Yeah. It's crazy that you thought what you thought you wanted in the end. You were like, no, I actually want to be home. And you found a different definition for freedom.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's different.
Like,
go ahead.
Well, everything that I thought I based my life on was freedom. You know, I grew up in a very like middle class, normal family. There wasn't a lot of like fighting or drama. I'm an only child, so I was bored for most of my life. You know, I had a happy life, but like I just wanted that excitement. I wanted to go travel, and my family brought me up as a family that traveled. You know, we had been to Europe, and my family was always out doing something adventurous. So it was kind of just in my natural state to always want to go explore. And I thought that's all I wanted. I thought I wanted to be a nomad. I thought, freedom, like, I want the open road, you know. And I still love that. Like, it still gets me giddy to, like, go on adventures and trips. But everything I thought I wanted was the exact opposite. It was really hard and it was really scary. And the instability of that lifestyle just made me realize how much I appreciated what I already had. And it took going through that. It took being so far from that for me to see what I already had.
I love that.
Yep.
I love that you then realize, okay, I've got a lot at home. So you come home from your van trip, and then what? Do you get a 9-to-5 job? Do you start more projects? Where did you go from there?
Yeah, so I got home. I came home to visit with the van, and the van blew up. The transmission blew on the side of the road, and that was it. I was like, well, I guess the trip is done. You know, like, I am tired, and I didn't want to give up because I had said that I was going to do it for a year. And so for me, like, I literally wanted to go for 12 months, and I was only in New Hampshire visiting my family and friends to just see them and plan out my next move. And then the transmission blew. So I was like, oh, well, I guess that's convenient that I'm home and I have support here. And I'm really tired. Like, I am really tired of life right now. I'm tired of fighting and, like, trying to figure it out. So I gave up. And I was like, you know what? I've had a really amazing trip. You know, as much as this, it was a struggle, there was some really amazing times too. And it felt like I had been through a lot. So I was like, okay, I think we're good now. And so I stayed home with my parents, and which is, that's a whole other experience, like, being an adult and moving in with them. Holy cow.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love my parents. Like, I talk to them almost every day. Like, we have a really good relationship, but, like, I don't care who you are. Just, wow. Living with your parents, like, just exposes you to so much.
Yeah.
So that was an experience on its own. And, like, coming back, you know, like, I had used all of my savings on the trip. I didn't have a job waiting for me. I had no plan. And I was feeling really down on myself because of the trip not being, like, everything I wanted it to be. Because it was so hard, I was feeling so unfulfilled and so, like, confused about what I wanted to do. Because I had a vision that, like, I'd go on this trip and I'd come back, like, this enlightened person that, like, knew their life path and knew everything was going to, like, fall into place. And I was like, I have zero idea. I have no car now. I have no money. I'm living at home with my parents and I have no job. Like, I don't know what I want. So it was a really tough time. That process was actually a really hard thing to get through. So I got a job waiting tables and I did that for a week. And then I was like, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. And so I quit that. And then I got a job, working, what was it? It was like a marketing events person. So, like, you know, those people kind of like at a fair that will try to sell you like cable TV or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Or like a mattress or something like that. So they hire contractors on to do that.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, it's a contractor job. Like, it's not like I'm locked into it. So I did those, on the weekends for a little bit. And I was like, this is miserable. What am I doing with my life? Still didn't know. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to go back to the medical field and get a job. Like, I'm just going to do it. So, like, maybe that's my future. So I did it. And I actually got a job that I really liked in a doctor's office, in a chiropractor's office. And I did that for a little while. Thought, okay, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the path for me. And to make extra money, I started coaching on marketing. I started with those friends that were still around. They were becoming life coaches or whatever kind of coaching industry that they were doing, fitness, and coming to me and asking me for help. So I charged them like a super low rate, but it was extra money for me. And so then word started spreading and then I was getting more and more. And I was like, well, this is working, but I do love my job. I really did like my job at the time. And I had this little business that just started booming all of a sudden. And I was like, I'm really good at this. Like, I forgot that I had a talent for that because I had, like, kind of shoved it away. I'd been denying it for so long, so many years. Of, I had that story of, like, I quit. And if I quit, I can't go back. And there was a reason that I quit, you know, and I was burnt out and it's a flawed industry. Like, I had all of these excuses that I told myself. So I kept pushing it away and pushing it away. And that's what I was talking about earlier with, you know, getting the signs from the universe that it was coming back to me. And I was like, I don't want something to go really bad in my life for me to face up to the fact that, like, this is what I should be doing. You know, like, why can't I just face the music now and say, this is what I want?
Yeah.
And so I did it. And I said, okay. I was really terrified. And I was like, all the stories, like all the fear kept coming up. I was like, what if I quit again? Mm-hmm. And what is everyone going to think of me? And all the people that saw me quit the first time, they're going to see me come back. And what are they going to say about me? Like, are they going to be like, oh, here we go again? You know, like I had so much fear around that.
Yeah.
It took me so long. Yeah. To like let that go. Yeah, it took a while, but the faster I started letting that go, the faster I started like knowing and seeing the transformation that I could help other people, the more I didn't care about that. And I was like, actually, I don't care about that story anymore. Like I had to actually, I wrote it down one day and I was like, I'm done with this story. I'm done with this van, like being the story of my life and ruining me. Mm-hmm. I'm done with me being a quitter, being that person that quits, you know, like that's no longer my identity anymore. And so the moment that I actually like wrote those things down and got rid of that, it was over. That story was done. And now I'm full time with my business and coaching and like super, super happy with what I'm doing.
Okay. I love it. I love how the universe called you back into it. You were trying to get away. And you just kept getting these signs. You kept getting people just coming to you because they knew you were the person to help them. And then you also said something that sparked something in me is that you were seeing changes in people. You were seeing the impact you were making. It wasn't about the money for you. It was about I'm changing someone's life for the better. And you know, I think that's what it's all about. So cool. Yep,
totally.
So I know for a while you were an online business manager, and a business coach, but you're not doing business management anymore. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? Tell us and maybe explain what a business manager is. So, 'cause I think a lot of people don't really know.
Yeah. So, a business manager is just like you would think like a manager of like a department store or a doctor's office or something like that. They run business. There's the owners of the business, but the business manager is in charge of making sure the staff is doing their jobs, that everything's running smoothly. They kind of have their eye on the overall vision of the business, the day to day, but like the big picture of the goals. And that same concept is used in the coaching industry. The title that people get is online business manager or like business development manager. There's all sorts of different names, but those are two like that are generally known. So back years ago when I first started, that's what my role evolved into. So you start out as an assistant, maybe project manager or community manager. You're kind of managing the clients. And then eventually as a business grows, they need someone to really help them out, to be their right-hand woman. Mm-hmm. And that's what a business manager does. They step in. It's like a part-time or full-time position. And you really work to build someone else's business. And that role is perfect for like probably an introvert, someone who's good with details, who doesn't have a desire to like be on stage and be the star of the show. Mm-hmm. And I am very comfortable there. And I can be extroverted at times, but like I love being an introvert. I love my alone time. Like I'm a quiet person for the most part. And I love seeing other people succeed. I want to be part of something bigger than myself, but I don't want to be the person. Like, I don't want to be Oprah. Like, I just maybe want to be Gail.
You want to be Gail? Yeah.
Like, right next to Oprah, like behind the scenes cheering her on. So that's my vision. And even as a business coach now, I still get to do that. So for years, I was a business manager. And when I came back to the coaching industry online in this like reincarnation of my business, I did both. I had one foot in the business management side and one side in the coaching. So the clients that were coming to me for, you know, help with how to market themselves, how to get clients, I was coaching them. And I was finding I was really good at it. And then I was coaching for other coaches So coaches that would run big masterminds, they would need help. So I would help and come in to coach their students and kind of be like an assistant coach and or a guest expert that would come in. So I was like, well, this is really a thing. Like, I'm actually really good at this. And the more I would work with people, more clients would come in, the more that they would refer me out. So then I was like having a full practice of coaching clients. And to the point where a few months ago, I shut down my coaching. So I took the entire month of April off that I didn't take on any more clients. And I realized, I was like, I actually don't have the space to be a business manager for anybody because my coaching practice is so full. So what I do now is I coach full time and I do get to use some of my like business management and project management working on projects for other coaches. So there's some people that I'll still get to work with to have that vision. So other coaches that want to run live events, I'll get to help them out. And that's just for fun for me. Like, I honestly don't care if I get paid. That's not a moneymaker for me. That is like a full passion project. And, you know, I do charge for compensation for my time, but that's like, I just love doing that. So that's me just still having my foot in the door. Meanwhile, I still get to coach my clients and I still love doing that. So it's kind of like a natural evolution to move from business manager to coaching clients on their marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you probably get to work with more people as a coach, do you feel, than you would as a business manager?
Right. Yeah. So as a business manager, you're like a high level support to one person, you know, in this industry, the influencer industry, it's usually one person. It's not usually more than one. And they're the face of the business. And granted, they'll have employees. So a business manager is in charge of the employees or the contractors or managing all people that are involved. But they're there to serve that one person, that business owner. And while that's so fulfilling to me, and I do love that dynamic and that aspect of it, it's one person.
Yeah.
Whereas my clients get to talk to like 5, 6, 7 different coaches a week or a day. And that's so many more people, like the effect that I can have on them. And then that they get to go teach their clients these things. It's just, my reach is so much further and I still don't have to get on a stage. I still don't have to be the star of the show. I don't have to be Oprah in order to help other people in this way.
I love it. I love that we can design our businesses however we want. Because if you wanted to get on stage, you could. But if you don't want to, you don't have to, right?
Yeah, I think that's true. Like, so many people in our industry see the extroverted people because extroverted people are extroverted. They're great at putting themselves out there, right? And it's an industry that definitely caters to them. They're going to have it a lot easier than the introverted types, but that doesn't mean there's not room for the introverts or the people who aren't trying to be Oprah. You know, there are people who just want to like make, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year, serve their clients and be home with their kids and have their quiet life. And that to them is like, that's goals. That's where they want to be. Or maybe they want to be over the six figures and still have a quiet life. That's totally possible. You don't have to like be in that mold of hosting live events and putting yourself out there all the time. There's definitely a different business model for everybody and everybody's scheduled too. So it changes. And that's where like business coaching is like, yes, we can show you like one specific way of running a business, but that's not going to work for everybody. And it doesn't have to be that way either.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, I have a few fun questions to ask you.
Okay.
I think they're fun. So we're just going to go through these really fast. And then we're going to tell people where they can find you online and connect after this. Okay. Number one, what is your favorite personal development book of all time?
Oh my goodness. I don't know. That's a fun question. That's a hard question.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't know if this is actually, it doesn't qualify as a personal development book, but I use it in this way. So Araya, if you've ever heard of her, she, oh gosh, what's the name of the book? Mountain, no. Oh gosh, I can't remember. Okay, so Araya is the artist, the poet who writes these books. So The Invitation, that's what it's called. So The Invitation by Oriah, and it's all poems, and she writes a book about this poem that she's written. And it's like, every time I read that, I almost like, I'm not religious, but like I treat it like a Bible. Like every time I open that book, I get something new out of it. And for years and years, I've given it away as gifts to people who are going through a hard time or like a birthday or whatever it is. I love that book for sure.
Cool. Okay. I think if it helps you, it's personal development. I'm just going to declare that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You got it. You got it. Okay, what is your power song right now? What gets you pumped up to get going?
Ooh.
Do you have one?
What gets me going? It gets the people going. Let's see if I have a specific one. Usually I do. Normally I do. But lately I've been feeling like music, I don't know what the right word would be. You know, like every night, like a music slump. I'm like, just like nothing speaking to me.
Yeah.
Lately. So I've actually been having fun going through Spotify and listening to their playlist. So I think the one that I'm listening to right now is Summer Vibes.
Okay.
And it's kind of like this reggae, like kind of got some Trevor Hall, like yoga e vibes to it, but it's very chill, but then it's like happy and positive. So I guess anything on that playlist. I don't have a specific song at the moment, but that playlist has been my go-to for the last couple weeks.
Cool. I love it. No, that's okay. All right. Beach, mountains, or desert?
Oh. Can I have all of them?
Sure.
Okay. So I live in New Hampshire, which is, for most people, it's actually surprising most people don't know where that is, but it's up near Boston.
Okay.
And we have the ocean. And we have mountains. We don't have desert. But so I'm very spoiled. I have both. I'm half an hour from the ocean. I'm half an hour from mountains. And it's very lush and very green here, at least in the summertime.
Yeah.
And I do love the desert, though.
Okay.
Okay. Mountains.
Mountains. Okay.
And then I love the ocean. Oh, my goodness. I can't choose.
It's okay. You don't have to choose. Okay. Last one. Favorite place you've traveled to?
Ooh.
Or place you want to visit that you have not yet visited?
Ooh, can I do both?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have traveled like quite a bit, but it's kind of like, I feel like if you're saying travel, like you probably shouldn't pick like some place out of your own country. Like you should choose something like exotic and cool. Mm-hmm. But I love Big Sur in California.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Big Sur?
Yes. It's beautiful. Yeah. Yes.
It's gorgeous. Like I just can't help. Like I love it. I have like, I want to choose like somewhere like a lot cooler, but I love Big Sur. But on my vision board, like what I'm manifesting, my intention for either this year or next year is I really want to go to Morocco.
Oh yeah.
I really want to go there.
Yeah.
Just all the colors, like even if you look on Pinterest, like just Google Morocco, like the colors, all the tile and it looks so beautiful. So that's where I would love to go.
Cool. Yeah. So I don't think that your favorite place has to be something exotic. I like Big Sur. Yeah. I remember when I went there, I was like taken aback because like we were talking about the beach and the mountains. It's like mountains on one side and beach on the other. And like it's just a place of beauty. So,
yeah. And it's warm. So
yes. Which it's probably not as warm there in New Hampshire, is it?
No, not today, but
yeah,
it could be. But yeah, Big Sur is just, it's gorgeous. Yeah. One of my favorite places for sure.
Awesome. Okay. Well, tell us, where can people find you online, your site or social media, or if you have anything going on right now?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. My handle is courtbaker, courtbaker. And my website is actually the same, courtbaker.com. And if you want to find me on Facebook, it's actually my full name, so it's Courtney Baker. But all of that is linked up on my website as well. So Instagram and Facebook are my two. Those are where I hang out the most. That's where you can find me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yay. Thank you for having me. It was so fun.
Yeah. As always, thanks for tuning in to the Sensitive Soul, Bold Spirit podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. It was a special one with Courtney. If you really liked today's episode, go ahead and take a screenshot and post it to your stories. Tag me, Nikki.Ferguson and Court Baker. And we would love to give you a shout out on our Instagrams. Bye.